everyone. I'm Sophia.
I'm Leah.
And this is Magical Baddies, the realest podcast in all things mystical, magical, and spiritual. So this is the first episode from a segment we kind of created from Instagram Live, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're going legit.
Legitimacy. We're doing this for real. Yeah. My kids can Google it later. Exactly. So should we introduce ourselves first?
Yeah.
All right.
I love to introduce myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, after you.
Okay. My name is Leah Garza and I'm based out of Los Angeles. I am an Akashic Records practitioner and I do other healing work. I've been doing this for about 7 years now, and I'm also many other things, a PhD student, and yeah, I don't know, but I feel like that's the gist. I live in Los Angeles, but I'm an SF Giants fan, which is very controversial.
I feel like, do you want to tell them what your PhD student
for? Sure, yeah.
Because that's huge.
It is a big deal, and it really informs like my spiritual work, and it also informs the conversations that we have in Magical Baddies. I am studying community liberation, indigenous, and eco psychology, and I study it with my program has a decolonial lens. So everything that we study, everything that I'm reading, everything that I want to write about in my PhD is from a perspective of decoloniality.
Cool. We're going to have to explain that and like really dive into that.
Yeah. That will be a topic probably at some point.
So I'm Sophia. I am a mom. I was voted best granddaughter by my grandmother all of my life. I'm also an Akashic practitioner. I call myself a conduit. I channel psychic medium. And I would say I'm an amateur occult historian and researcher with hopes of one day being legit. We'll see.
What makes a legit, what how do you define legit? Because I'm like, you are legit to me. Like, I don't.
By creating a podcast and a YouTube, that's how you go legit, right?
That's how you get vetted. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how you get legit. Yeah, so Leah and I, let's talk about how we met.
Okay. We met on Zoom.
That's going to kind of inform our next session.
Our next conversation. Episode. Yeah. We both have the same teacher in Akashic work, Helen Vonderheide. And Helen put on a class, it was like a year-long class on developing your skills as an Akashic teacher, really, in her like work that she's developing in the world. And I live in California and you are in Virginia. That's right, Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, we met on Zoom, and you know, this is like, I don't know, we're like 2.5 years into the pandemic, or 2 years into the pandemic when it started. And so we've been doing Zoom for a long time, for a couple of years, but up until this point, I had not made friends, and I'd heard of people making friends on Zoom, like, oh, I did this class or I had this meetup or whatever. And then I met this person and now we email and whatever. And I just like, I had been doing a lot of stuff on Zoom and I hadn't made that connection. So you're my first Zoom friend, which I find very special. Yeah.
So I've never had friends before. So you're... You're my first friend. I'm kidding.
That's a lot of pressure.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, so I think this kind of dives into why we created this kind of container. But here's what it really boils down to. I think that there's a lot of fluff in spirituality. There's a lot of stuff like people just don't resonate with. And, you know, in class, I feel like there would be times where things would come up and you just kind of naturally, or I do because I'm pretty judgy. And I try not to be, I really do try not to be, but sometimes you can't help it.
You can't help it.
And, And then, you know, those memes where it's like the audacity, like, you know, I would make that face and Leo yeah. would make that face. And it just was a connection of,
yeah,
you know, like, dog, you see this? Doggy.
Yeah.
And that's what it yeah. kind of boils down to. Like, not to like call anybody out or, yeah. you know, whatever, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. You meet somebody at a party and then you both make eyes and then you're both like, you get it. She gets yeah. it. They get it.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think that was the connection.
Yeah. 100%. I think, especially, you know, like, I don't know what the spiritual world is like in other parts of the world. And I guess it's not fair to localize it into a geography anymore sure. because like Helen's class did have people from all over yeah. the place, but the culture of spirituality in LA is very much influencery and very social media like and very like kind of fickle, just the way LA is. And so I had definitely become accustomed to meeting people that are into like these esoteric practices and knowledges, and yet they act so incredibly fickle and unreliable. And so I definitely have like associations with this world of like, it's not often that I meet people that I feel like are my people, like the kind of people yeah. that can have, I don't know if any of that makes sense. I'm incredibly judgy too. So but I'm not even sorry about it.
At the end of the day, most people are. So like, yeah. if you say you're not, like, that's part of being human. We're all yeah. like, we're all chipped and cracked, you know? But yeah. I would say from my perspective, you know, so I hid my spirituality for a very long time. I was really lucky. I grew up in a family of root workers and seers, but I was always told, my grandmother would always say, like, don't give away hugs because you never know who wants a piece of your hair. Like, you know, that's kind of like the way I grew up. And so we never really talked about it outwardly. And mm-hmm. when I decided to do this work professionally, it was kind of a big deal. It for me, who has been programmed my whole life to hide it. And I think that probably comes yeah. from a really long lineage of being looked at weirdly or different. My family yeah. was very isolated. Like, we didn't have family friends. We just didn't. Mm-hmm. It was just our family. So when I started to put myself out there, you know, it started with yoga. And the only thing I would see was, you know, like middle class, upper class, like Caucasian women and Lululemon or yeah. the super crunchy herbalist hipsters. And like, I didn't feel I fit, you know. I like metal. I like hip hop, you know, I yeah. like my Air Maxes. I like yeah. certain things. And I just mm-hmm. didn't see a representation of me. And, yeah. You know, even when I did start to find a small community, I always felt like on the outside. Again, like, it was like herbalist, it was yogic, yeah. it was soft, it was gentle. And, you know, I come from a background where it's like, sometimes you are the one that enforces the karma. You know, we can manipulate our reality. Like, yeah. darkness isn't necessarily darkness, you know, it's things that mm-hmm. I just have a different lens of seeing things through. And I just always felt ostracized. And I remember specifically, I decided to take like my yoga teacher training, and it was a bhakti centric one, which is the yoga of devotion. And it was like mm-hmm. so heart opening. But I was just thinking about this the other day, you know, I was pregnant with my second child. And when we would do groups, I was always last to be picked. And I'm like, I am a grown ass woman, you know, like, this is weird. Like, yeah. this is yeah. elementary school all over again. And I'm not, yeah. you know, outward, like, I'm not overly outspoken or anything like that, but it just like felt really isolating. So coming into that class, you know, there's definitely so many different points of views, but it was just cool to feel like, not only would I feel the need to speak up when I didn't agree with something, and I'm completely okay with that. I saw someone else do that as well. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, like it just felt, there was like a really cool connection, which I was really excited about. And I got to come meet Leah in real life.
Yeah.
which I do not recommend doing pregnant, because that trip to LA, like I was asleep for like 2 weeks. But I think this dives into like the bigger thing of like what we see represented in spirituality on Instagram, on social media, how it gets divided. You know, there are this like light and love, there are these like esoteric like vibes, but then there's also kind of like the people that lean darker, and how they kind of like keep like separate. And you and I both study the mystical, the magical, the spiritual independently in through different lenses. But I think that like as we grow into this, we probably have like a lot of hot takes. And I think we're both like just ready to speak on all of these, because I think that it just creates this like narrative of what you're supposed to be, of a formulation of how to be magical, witchy, spiritual, whatever. And I think both of us are kind of like, yo, fuck that. Like, there doesn't have to be that.
Yes, 100%. There's definitely, so the reason I mention LA is because I moved to LA to become a teacher. I went to UCLA. I got my teaching credential there, my master's of education. And then I taught in South LA, and I spent most of my time in South LA. So if you're not familiar with LA, South LA is a fancy gentrified term for basically like everything south of the 10, but you know, usually people use word terms like South Central, but it's been like kind of softened to be like South LA. But I worked in Watts, I worked in South Central, I worked in Compton, I worked in Linwood, I worked you know, in different parts of South LA, and spent a lot of my time there. And as I was getting into the spiritual community in LA, there was like a total divide between who has access to the kinds of classes and meetups and things I was going to, and then who did not. And that creates like a subtext or like a preconceived idea that like, you have to be white, you have to be rich, you have to live in a certain geographic place, you have to have a certain level of education to access things that are birthrights, you know, of our beings. Like, you know, like it's to learn the Akashic Records. Like, yes, you can learn yourself, but like, I highly recommend people like study with other people.
Sure.
But in order to study with other people, you have to pay for classes. And so it almost feels like, well, if I can't pay for classes, then I probably don't have access to this thing. But no, everybody can do Akashic work. And so I wanted to find, and I have found a lot of people, but I wanted to find people that were interested in this crazy, like esoteric stuff that I'm into, but wanted to like remove the gatekeeping that happens in like modern spiritual communities. And yeah, because it is for everyone. And it's not for everyone, like everyone needs to study the stuff I study, but like if you want it, it is for you. Like it's not, you don't need to have a specific body or specific race or specific gender or income threshold to do this work, like to meditate. Like transcendental meditation is huge in LA. And I understand why now, because some people, and it's very expensive to practice it. And it's very exclusive too. And some people, I realized like when I first heard about it, I was like, that's bullshit. Like everyone can meditate, but some people do need the like mental narrative, the story of like, I paid this money to do this thing, and so now it works. Yeah. And other people don't need that. And so, but then how can you let people, or how can people like develop a meditation practice if that's what they want without that gate, that barrier of like money being the thing?
I agree with you. And I think, but I also think it's so much more. I mean, the base of it is socioeconomical, right? But like, there's so much more to it. Cause like, even when you pay the money, like I know in my own experience, I've paid the money and I still feel like uncomfortable with the culture that's being presented to me. Right. Like,
yeah,
you just feel completely different. And I think what we're saying is like, so what, who cares?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's important to meet these teachers who are have something to offer to the world. Yeah. Like, that's the coolest thing. I'm like so down with people who have a thing that makes them tick. Like, yeah. someone who's passionate. If you have a passion, I don't yeah. care if you're the weirdo, like the weirdest person on yeah. earth. You have a passion. Yeah. I think that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
So I think that even if you scrounge and you, or you talk to the person, you work it out, like being there is important. And you have to take in what works for you and what you resonate with and what you identify with. But I think that sometimes a lot of this is cultural, right? And
yeah, totally.
You know, I've got a way about me. I can be super fiery, and you know, but it's weird when you're in a place where it seems like everyone has the same narrative or agreement yeah. or you
aesthetic.
Know, aesthetic yeah. or anything. And you're kind of like, well, I'm not that. And it feels yeah. really isolating. So it's kind of yeah. like the same idea of somebody being put in a higher education or a better school. Totally. Like, you still feel removed.
Totally.
And I think that the cool thing about this now podcast, YouTube, whatever, is that we're here to say, like, grab what you need and like be you. Like, that's yeah. that's cool. You don't have to yeah. identify or fit into yeah. a formulation yeah. of what is spiritual, what's mystical, what's magical. Like, it
yeah
ultimately, like, subcultures all have like a thing, right? It doesn't matter if yeah. you're punk, you're gonna look like a punk. It yeah. like, if you are into hip-hop, you're gonna look like, there's going to always be that. But I think that finding who you are and being comfortable in that and like vibing with what you like is such a bigger task than a lot of people let yeah. on. And it's hard.
So hard. It's so hard because I feel like we're in the midst of a mass homogenization. I mean, not that we haven't been in previous years, previous decades, previous eras of our culture, especially in the United States, but like, social media makes like a homogenization of everyday life. And we're all, I mean, not we, but like, it feels like so many of us are trying to make our everyday experience match an image that yeah. may have nothing to do with us, but it's that, like, you know, really disgusting, hegemonic, oppressive sense of normalcy that governs. Like we're like, it's interesting that you bring up like subcultures like punk and hip hop, because it's like within those subcultures, which both like originated as a resistance to mainstream culture, still became homogenized in how they, totally. You know, like normalized and how you be punk or how you be into hip hop. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think back to like when I was super into like indie music or hardcore, but I was still, you know, wearing Jordans and whatever. Yeah. And it was just like, I couldn't get a date because everyone thought I was a poser. But now all the hardcore guys are wearing like basketball shorts and yeah. Air Maxes. So yeah. suck it. So yeah. What I'm saying is, like, I think individuality is a reflection of our super consciousness, right? Like,
yeah.
being cool with who you are allows you to reflect that in seeing the world, being cool with seeing the world as it yeah. wants to actually present itself.
Yeah.
And I think that if we, you know, going back to what I was saying, like at yoga, there is no representation, like representation matters. So I feel like yeah. we kind of created this podcast thing, this segment to represent, like, we don't have to agree with everything.
Yeah.
We don't have to formulate into anything.
Yeah.
But and also, like, who are we? I don't know. Like, we're yeah, just,
exactly.
We're
and like, just... don't agree with us. Don't. I'm constantly telling people, like, in the classes I teach, like, don't trust me. Like, read, do your research, form your own resonant opinion yeah. based on the stuff that you learn. Do not ever just take what I'm sharing as truth without checking me.
Yeah. And I feel like if somebody is like, take what I'm saying as truth, like, maybe check them. Like,
yeah.
But I yeah. feel, I, you know, we talked about this what just the other day. Like, I feel like the more and more I like research and like dive in and experiment, the more I realize I don't know shit. I yeah. don't know. I don't know. The world is too big. the universe is too big.
Yeah.
The infinite is too big for me to like be able to put my finger on it and be like, this is it. But I know what it is to me. Right. And so that's like literally all we can do. Yeah. We're not going to find the answers of the great mystery. Like it's called the great mystery for a reason. Yeah. We're not going to find all the answers for it. We can find how they pertain to us and our environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, colonialism loves certainty. And it's very uncomfortable for us in the colonial world to like say, or to not feel like we know anything. We want to like feel like we can categorize our knowledge. But truly, you know, like, as we dive into like consciousness studies, and as we dive into metaphysics, and like, truth is so subjective to the person or being experiencing it. And it is not a unified, objective, external phenomenon. It really depends on what is happening. And people know this. And if you're listening or watching, you have had moments in your life where something is true, and then some more information is revealed to you, and then that is no longer true for you. So this is the way for all of us. And it's so refreshing. And like, take, for me, it takes the burden off of me as someone who's literally getting the highest degree in the land about knowing something, knowledge. Like, it is such a burden off my shoulders to confidently say, I don't know. I don't know, or I'm unsure, or I've changed my mind about that thing. It's a lot of pressure to like know with certainty.
Yeah, I agree. I think as human beings, and especially as practitioners, there's so much pressure to know.
Yeah.
But when you like finally come to terms with flexibility, I think there's so much like confidence and power in that.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, even in my own offerings or practice, shit changes all the time. Or I decide I don't want to do something or whatever. Yeah. But I think that's like the most authentic I can be at that moment.
Totally. Yeah.
Otherwise, like stuff becomes stagnant, and then it does become like a money-making machine. And like, that's not what this is about. Like, I was like just talking to my husband yesterday, and we were talking about theology and the study of religion. And he was asking me like, we were talking about politics, and I was like, well, I mean, ultimately we really can't separate politics from religion or any kind of practice, because this is how it started. And he's like, damn, you're in your bag. But like, this is what does it for me. And I don't know what I'm going to do with this information. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my study, but I love it. And then I create my own belief system, my own practice, and it gives me all the confidence in the world. It gives me all the ability, all of the whatever, the support to know like I can do whatever the fuck I want and say what I want.
Yeah.
Because like, this is just how I'm running my life. And I think that's ultimately what lots of people are looking for, is like, it's this, like, I want to connect to something bigger because I want to know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Like, it's the realization, like you can decide, just connect to them to help you out.
Yeah.
So I think it all like kind of really boils down to figuring out what you want, figuring out who you are, figuring out what you agree with, what you don't agree with, maybe down the line, decide you want to switch your mind up, and saying like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's because I don't think there's a whole lot of narrative around that out there.
No. Yeah. Agreed. And figuring out what resonates with you. Because I think like I've taken yoga classes, but that's never resonated with me. You know, like, I never felt like, oh, this is my shit. Like I just, it just never, and same thing with like Reiki too. Like I know a lot of people practice Reiki, and I have been attuned to it. And I certainly, well, I don't even know if I can say with certainty that I feel it, but it just didn't call me. But then something like the Akashic Records, as soon as I did it, I was like having an experience of remembering. And I was like, this is a yes, I have to pursue this. And so, and it defies logic sometimes what resonates. It defies the story of what you have in your mind about who you are and what you should be doing. But knowing that is so incredibly powerful. And like the one thing that we all should be doing is following what resonates for us.
Yeah. I think even if you don't have that huge, holy shit moment, if you're being brought to it, there's something there for you to learn, to add to something else. So I think, you know, at least for me, I have a lot of clients that are like, what am I supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And I have this and this in front of me. And I'm like, go to it. Go. There might be something there. There might be a nugget there for you.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do anything. Yeah.
We should have a talk. We should do an episode on resonance, because I think at this point everyone can feel it, but it doesn't always happen for me as an aha, like huge slap in the face. Mm-hmm. But I have definitely had clients that are like, oh, I don't feel resonance. And I'm like, bullshit, you just don't know what you're talking about. Like, let me help you, which is me saying I'm certain, which I just said I'm not, but like I know that I trust that people have this ability, but we're so taught early on to ignore and disavow what feels like a yes in favor of logical and safe stories for how we should live the trajectory of our lives.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that, because you were talking about this, like, hell yeah, with the Akashic Records.
Yeah.
And when I dove into the Akasha, I wanted to throw up and I felt sick nonstop. So like, but that was still resonance.
Exactly.
It was going down.
Yeah.
It sucked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like why we should talk about resonance, because resonance is different than positive thinking, which people think.
And feeling safe.
Exactly. And so people think like, oh, just because this is unpleasant, I shouldn't be doing it. And that's not, resonance will put you deep into something unpleasant, but it could be exactly right for your path.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, totally. This. I know you know this. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll dive into that. So, okay. So Magical Baddies, what can people expect from us moving forward?
I think that people cannot expect authentic perspective. That, at least for me, like I'm not I feel confident enough now after being a public facing figure on Instagram. I feel confident enough now to be like, I really am not here for agreement. I'm just here to like get out what I have to say, and what I have to say has been upsetting to people, but, and it's not the point that I want to upset people, but it feels intolerable to keep things to myself and to be inauthentic when I do share. So I feel like part of the nature of these conversations is that we are absolutely authentic.
Yeah. I really thought you were going to say, I think people can't expect anything because they're unpredictable.
I don't think we're unpredictable, no, but we're not. I think like authenticity, especially from two people that like have criticisms of like status quo narratives, can feel unpredictable. Like I feel like there was maybe a time when I thought, here's the way you be spiritual. And I see a lot of my clients who've gone from like learning from me to becoming their own practitioners, going through like the stages of modern spirituality, where they start out with like pulling a card and here's a crystal I use and here's how I do a cord cutting and here's how I do a full moon ceremony. Because those are things that are easy to grab onto. Those are like how-to things when you're starting out this practice. But I'm not going to say I don't do that stuff. Some of those things I do, but like, that's not what makes you connect to your essential soul level self. Like those are practices that might work and might not work. And those are cultural practices too, that like other people in other cultures of the world don't do anything like that whatsoever. So I think we won't be predictable in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one thing you can probably, you'll hear from me a lot is the this idea of the formulation to success. And I think that that is, you know, the baby practitioners or baby professionals, that's the formulation of success that we see. And so we're like, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
And I think we see the formulation of success in all things that we do socially, privately, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that, I just really thought you were going to say unpredictable, but I think, we can, you can expect authentic conversation. You can expect terrible jokes. You can expect some deep seriousness, and you can expect some like maybe inappropriate lightness too, because
that's
just how we vibe.
Inappropriate lightness is a really funny way to say it, because it's almost like, I don't know. I think like, I don't think that you and I are shit talkers in a malicious way. Mm-mm. But I think that you and I will discuss something at length in a funny way and with like honest criticism or critique of like a phenomenon or a person or a movement or, you know, whatever, which can come off as shit talky, especially when you're having public conversations and there's like a decorum, there's like a prescription for how you should and shouldn't describe things. But I would not be friends with you if I felt like you were malicious or like a mean girl. So like, I know that that's not in it, but
not like, I think more it's kind of like a really, yeah, it is a lightness. It's like the Step Brothers. Like, we're here to fuck shit up, but we're just fucking up the status quo. Like, I'm not a shit talker in a malicious way, but like, I also think that what we're having are conversations that we would have in private, and we're inviting you in.
Yeah.
So this is never anything that's like definitely pointed at anybody. We're calling anybody out. We're, that's not the vibe we're going on. Ultimately, in the end, I think that the core of what we are saying is like, question it, question everything, question reality, because that's like, that's the form of rebellion we're about. Because like, what is reality? Like, I'm not trying to sound like somebody smokes a ton of weed, but like, what is time? What is reality? What is belief? What is, you know? And I think that that's like important for us to dive out, because I think spirituality, mysticism, magical practices are so much bigger than the homogenization that we have created in our modern society. But with that being said, I'm fucking cool with, you know, things being sold at Urban Outfitters, because we've come a long way to where other people are starting to accept practices that were, you know, people would get in a lot of trouble for back in the day. So I think there's kind of like a balance here. And I think that these conversations, like, you know, we're going to want to hear from the listeners or the watchers. That's an Archangel joke, but we're going to want to hear from, from listeners and watchers, like on things they want us to cover, or, you know, we'll do questions. But I think that we both come with a lot of experience and a lot of opinions.
I want to give a caveat to my shit talking. Like, I want to give an appendix to my shit talking comment. It's really actually impossible for me to dislike somebody on a core level. And that comes back to my spiritual practice. It comes back to my Akashic work, which I feel like part of my training in my Akashic work has been to fall in love with people. Yeah. Whereas before, I think that I was very skeptical of people, fearful of people, afraid that people wouldn't like me anyway, so I'm not going to love them. And this Akashic practice, along with like my decolonial education, all this stuff, it's flipped my how I see people right out the gate. And so it doesn't mean I can't be like a critic of things that people do or say, but at the core, I know that every person is good at the very core of their soul, I believe that about people. And so it becomes almost like charming to me when someone is obnoxious or doing something stupid, or like it becomes like I don't know. I think the Akashic perspective has given me an ability to just, even without it, without being in the practice, without being in my records, without having literally opened the records or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. having an ability to like see how beautiful people are even when they're in the midst of their bullshit. I don't know. So I just want to say that to anyone who's like, wow, Leah's a bitch.
I would say that's a long way of saying what I'm about to say, which is, it's very easy for me to say, yeah, fuck that person. I don't care for them, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get why they're doing it, or I get whatever, or like, I'm okay. It's not like that big of a deal. I just personally don't fuck with that person.
Exactly.
So, or thing or movement or whatever.
Yeah.
So, my shit talking is very much that, because I think it's okay to dislike people.
Right.
I think it's okay not to fuck with people, or like not to vibe with people.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger thing is, and this is also, you know, through the Akasha, which I think is going to be an episode, because that's how we met. But through the Akasha and through Bhakti, my heart's opened up enough to be like, I understand why this person is doing this, or I get the point of view, and I can't be offended by that because their point of view is valid. But I can feel offended. You know, those are it's nuanced, but so that can not fuck with somebody, but like, I get it. So my shit talking will always be that.
100%. I can't believe the projections that people make onto people that choose, people that are committed to a spiritual path, people that are outwardly spiritual, people that are mystics. There's like a projection of, you're no longer human, that you're somehow enlightened above, I hate this term so much, like low vibrational emotions, like that you somehow won't be triggered or offended by something. And that is like such a scary and dangerous like thing to believe, because absolutely, like I think like spirituality has like helped me affirm my humanity more than anything. It's helped me like dig in and explore and even have like wonder and sometimes amusement for when I am pissed off or triggered or hurt or something, you know, somebody's really like just or like, why do I have these responses to people? It makes me like, well, what is it, Leah? What's going on here? Instead of the like trying to dodge it and bypass it, like, oh, I don't feel anything, I am enlightened, I meditate on it. And no, it's like, I came here to be in this body and feel these things intentionally. I'm here for this.
I think like the other thing I want to add to that is the feeling that people get where they're like, what do I have to learn from this? Which is important. Yeah. But like, sometimes you're not supposed to learn anything from it. Sometimes you're just supposed to like process it. And I think one of the things that like, when I was like, oh, Leah is my fucking person, was when I was like really angry and I called you and you're like, let's hear it. No. Talk about it. And like, I just like unleashed, because, you know, I always felt really torn in half about my fire. And my fire is not necessarily always anger. Sometimes it's just like, it, you know, initiative or force. Like, it just, I can be that way. Or like, just like, I'm not down with the bullshit. But in a spiritual world, or what I was presented with, that was not okay.
Yeah.
There was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
I always felt torn about that. And so I think it's okay to not fuck with people. I think it's okay to like be angry. I think it's okay. And think about like, if we think about the, you know, deities and stories and myths and, you know, whatever, even down to, you know, angelology, like there's seraphim, there's angels of fire.
Yeah.
There are defenders, there are fighters.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the other thing that we kind of add to the mix of this. It's okay to be like, yo, fuck that.
Yeah.
Completely
totally.
Okay.
Totally. And I also think what you're describing and what we should like talk about is like, because you said in the spiritual world, but also you could take that phrase out and be like, in the white supremacist culture, where, you know, whiteness and I'm not talking about anyone individual, but like whiteness as a cultural phenomenon is very uncomfortable with anger, very uncomfortable with disagreement. And so it will create cultural norms that shut that down and make you think that you're, you know, gaslight you into believing like you're wrong for feeling these things, instead of let it flow through you. And then you'll get, because like when you said, like when people ask like, well, what am I supposed to learn? That immediately to me is like, we can't stop working. We're constantly laboring. So we want to know like, this terrible thing happened, but I don't know what to do other than labor. So how can I at least learn from it? And like, okay, maybe some learning will come, but maybe it's not going to come now. Maybe it doesn't come for years. Mm-hmm. And so like, how do you process what you're going through right now without any expectation of like a neat bow around it as an outcome? Like
maybe you learn to be messy. Maybe you learn to actually express yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. And I get what you're saying, the whiteness. And again, like this isn't like anyone's culture. It is whiteness, but that code switching that has to come with that softness that like, I have to present myself this way so you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think as two people that are mixed that, you know, are, you know, BIPOC, that's something we will talk about a lot. Like this feeling that we have to tone it down. And what does that fairness really come to? Like it's just like holding, it's gatekeeping. That's really what it is.
So
I think Magical Baddies is, you know, probably going to make some people uncomfortable. Probably people are going to like vibe with it. Like it's just real. Yeah. And there's not going to be a whole lot of editing in our conversation.
Yeah.
That's what people can expect, but I'm really excited about the next few episodes we're going to record. Honestly, I'm excited about all of it, but
me too.
I guess like the rhythm people can expect is, you know, we're going to put a few out and then we're just going to try to do it every month, essentially.
Yeah.
Cool. So
and
I'm
pause
excited.
When we want to and do whatever we want, because there's no parents and no rules.
Yeah. So maybe in that way, we're also, they can expect not to expect anything. Yeah.
We're not chained to content creation. I don't want to be that.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. But I definitely want viewers and listeners to know, like, this isn't, since we're inviting you in this conversation, like, there is going to be opportunity for you guys to send in questions or request topics or whatever. And eventually, you know, I think we want to bring in other practitioners too. So if it's something that maybe Leah and I can't dive into, or maybe we're just want to add another person to it, like we're down for this, because I think this whole conversation really was about community, right? And that's our next topic. But you know, the idea of community, of what it means, is like, it doesn't mean everyone's the same and everybody feels the same. And we want to invite different perspectives, because various perspectives is really important for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I'm super excited. Yeah. This is going to be fun.
So tell your moms, tell your friends. Yeah. Tell everybody.
Yeah. We could do this every weekend.
Yeah, we did. Cool. So, Leah, how can people follow you? I'm going to put it on the end too. But
okay. Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Crystals of Altamira, Altamira. And you can also check out my new beautiful website, crystalsofaltamira.com. How about you?
Smoke signals? No. So I'm at Divine Void Sophia, and website's the same. Pretty easy. Yeah. That's it.
Cool. This is so fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, guys. Thank you for your time. Thank you for watching. Like, subscribe, all the fun stuff that everyone says at the end of their videos and of their podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.